So why don't we call the meeting to order? Everybody, thank you once again for the coming to the 25th Yahrzeit observance of Harav Yaakov Ben Chaim Yosef Ben Yamini, my father-in-law. First of all, I have to ask everybody to please turn off their cell phones or just leave them in the hallway. So you have two typos here, so I want you to know that I know about them already. Poel, I found out from three people, is spelled with an I-N. I don't know why it doesn't deserve an Aleph, but we'll discuss that another time in another shiur, why. But it only gets an I-N and not an Aleph. And Mar is Amar, and I left out the Aleph because I must have erased it. So when you get to Mar, it's missing the Aleph. Yes, right, I could move the Aleph over there. So we know that when you go to a bris, they say, Kashem shenichnas le bris, or le brit, kein nichnas le Torah, chuppah, umasim tovim, right? So I did it a little differently. I first had chuppah, then I found Torah, or simultaneously with chuppah, and then finally, after about 20 years of marriage, I figured out what Ma'asim Tovim is all about. So, with that note, I want to remember my father-in-law right now, even though it's a time of sadness for some, but I want to remember him with simcha, because I couldn't have been doing what I'm doing today without that first push, that first liftoff that he gave me. You know, in the Gush, tramping is a way of life, and I feel very much obligated to pick up people, both at some of the Gush, and some at right here in the Frat, and some at Gilo. And so I'm always talking to people, and usually they're the younger ones, not always. There are working people, too, who tramp, to my astonishment, but they do. But I get the kids. I get a lot of kids and people in their 20s, and I get Rabbanim. And I say, well, you know, once they're in the car, I say, you have to answer a chida l'nasiya. You have to answer a riddle in payment of for your ride. And since they're in the car already, they're stuck, so they have to agree to it. And usually I ask them to give me two examples of Moresha in the Torah, or even one example. And sometimes it's very hard for them to even remember Torah, Sivalanu Moshe, Moresha Kilat Yaakov. Usually they remember that one, but they certainly don't get the next one, the second one. And very rarely have I found anyone who knew both. And very rarely have I found among the Gush kids people who have heard of Rabbi Keitel or have learned Eim HaBenim Smecha, which I find very distressing. So when I came to Israel, and of course we all unfortunately witnessed the Gerush Gush Katif, so I began to think, why isn't this idea in maybe it is, but it may have passed over my head because I don't read all of the everything that's written by the Rabbanim in Hebrew about this. But even if you have a government that's not Torah oriented, but at least bring up the Torah issues, let the world know, let Am Yisrael know, let the Israelis know what the basic theoretical issues are in the violations that have occurred, what I call the political violations or the violations as a result of political acts. In any event, there are many secrets in the Torah, and they expand our understanding both halakhically and philosophically. And sometimes when you find what I call these secrets of the Torah, they go to the very foundations of our thinking. So the Rambam, we know, begins Hilchot Yesodei Torah, the first source, Yesodei Yesodot V'Amud HaChochmot. And I'm not interested in learning the entire Rambam with you, that there's a Matsui Rishon, that's not my topic here. Most of us are familiar with this Rambam. But the words Yesod HaYesodot V'Amud HaChochmot, and I want to suggest that what we're going to discuss and learn tonight from Rabbi Teichtel and the Mabit and from the Torah Chaim and from Rav Kook is a Yesod. Maybe not Yesod HaYesodot, but very close to it. It's a Yesod in the Torah. So that's why I put in the Rambam there. So we know we have two sources. I should have asked everybody. I should have given you the quiz too. But I gave out the sheets already. So I don't know if you'd be telling me the truth or not. In any event, we have two sources for Moshe in the Torah. And astonishingly, if you go to the Bar Ilan database and you type in Moshe, it confirms with what Rabbi Teichtel said. And I only get two in the Chumash, and I get one in Sefer Yechezkel. If I recall, it's chapter 26, but we can check that out again. But it's really astonishing, because very often you type in a word in Bar Ilan, you get two pages worth of sources. And here, I got three sources in the entire Tanakh. So the first one is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moreshakilat Yaakov. And the second source in Shemot is V'heveti etchem el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi letet ota li'Avraham li'Yitzchak li'Yaakov v'netati ota lechem morasha ani Hashem. So, really, when I first read this in Rav Teichtel's book, Eim HaBanim Smecha, I was really quite astonished by it, because it's glaring. It's a glaring, I don't know how to say it. It bulges out at you. What do we call it in Hebrew? Blitot on the esrog. Blitot on the esrog. So it stares out at you that there's an equivalence between land and Torah. And I'm just shocked that Rabbi Avadya didn't come up with this, or say it publicly, at least say it, even if you're not going to commit your entire political program to it. And the question begs to be asked, what is the nature of this hashva'ah, this equivalency? Because if they're both Morashah, so what is the... And how come there's nothing else in all of the Tanakh, not only the Torah, the Chumash, but the entire Tanakh, there's no other example of Morasha? So we know Morasha means something about to inherit, to own, to hand down from one generation to the next. It's not quite the same as Yerusha, and I'm not going to go through Rabbi Teichtel, who spends 20 pages explaining what Morasha is, but that's it's certainly worth doing. But it is something that is actively handed down from generation to generation. I know this because we all know how hard it is to transmit Torah, and how the kids have to break their heads over this in school, and if they don't, they don't get it, and they don't take it with them to the next generation. As far as the land goes, so as I understand it, and I didn't look up a source, but as long as there's some Jew living in Eretz Yisrael in every generation, somehow that keeps our tie to the land and our claim to the land. But Morasha is... What is that?
There was no Jew living in Israel.
It's a problem. I don't have an answer to that.
No, the Morasha was still continuing.
First of all, there never was a time there was no Jew.
But I'm saying,
so we'll have to We'll have to put a footnote in here, and we're going.
I think the that's what I think the name Morasha implies.
Well, Morasha means entitlement. You're entitled legally. You're something that's inherited. But it also means ownership. And I'm going to show you that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to skip down to page 2, where you see Talmud Bavli Masechet Pesachim, Daf Mem Tes, right? And I'm doing this simply, I'm not sure the order matters, I'm doing it because it came up and because I want to understand that Morasha means that I have to own the thing. After all, if you inherit it, I mean, what does it mean to say you don't own it? You do own it, right? I think. So, and no one would contest that ownership, says Rabbi Teitel, if they understood that it was handed down from a parent or a previous generation. So look at what we have here. Tana Rabbi Chia. Kol ha'osek b'Torah lefnei am ha'aretz, and am ha'aretz in the days of the Mishnah and was somebody who did not accept the rabbinical pesach on how to perform the mitzvot of Masa Rishon, Masa Sheni, and Truma. Huh? They didn't want to accept the way the rabbanim said to do it. They knew better how to do it. That's how I was given to understand it. But in any event, when I suggested to my Rebbe Chavrusa J. Miller that maybe the maskilim are the closest thing to the Am Haaretz mentioned here in the Torah, he seemed to agree, because the maskilim, many of them had Torah educations. And an Am Haaretz in this context even knew the Mishnah. So it's a little more complicated. But nevertheless, they were not osek b'Torah. So it says, kol ha-osek b'Torah, when two learned figures come together and they talk a complicated matter in halacha, lifnei am ha-aretz, ki'ilu bo'el arusato b'fanav. So notice that arusato has to do, it's ki'ilu, so the Torah is looked upon as the arusa of the Am Haaretz. It's something that belongs to him. That's what it means. Shenema, Karatzi Velanu Moshe, Morasha, Al Tikri Morasha, Ela Maorsa. Then it goes on, Gedola Sina, Shason Im, Ame Haaretz, Latamid Chacham. They hate you for it. Why do they hate you for it? Because it belongs to them. They're not participating. That's why they hate you. It's subconscious. They don't even know why. You're doing something that should be theirs, and they sort of know it. They hate you. And yoter misinah shesonim umot olam et Yisrael. It's even more than these Amei Haaretz hate the Chachamim more than the nations hate Israel. Uneshoteihem yoter mehem, and their wives even more so. Great, it's a great simile, a little maybe a little risque, but the idea is there, the idea of ownership for Morasha. So let's look at what Rav Teitel says. If you go back to page 1, and I think he'll say things a little better than I can express them. The Alpiza. Navin heitev et hashtavot shel Torah ve'eretz Yisrael. I got frightened when I saw that word hashtavot, because in the car to the kids I always said hashvaot, and I quickly opened the dictionary, and behold, my word was there. So I felt pretty good. Hashvaot, equality, equivalence. So pizeh navin heitev et hashtavot shel Torah v'eretz Yisrael, the nechtav V'shtehem l'shon morasha. That's basically what I told you. This is where I learned it. The v'shtehem anu ba'im aleihem rak b'shvia yerusha shirashnu otam me'avoteinu v'lo mikoach atzmeinu. That means not even through war. There's an argument in the Torah about whether we're whether the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is based on Chazaka or on Milchama. So I'm not going to go into it, but I suspect there's some connection here. Hema Keshurim v'agudim yachad, that means Torah and Eretz Yisrael, are Keshurim v'agudim yachad, tied together inextricably. I'll say that word again, inextricably. V'alkein nityachadu v'nitkavnu shtehem bilshon echad. And because of that, there's only one word covering both of them. V'i'efshah lahafrid b'nehem. V'ra'iti b'sefer ha'kodosh beit Elokim, the Moran Hamabit. That is, I looked him up. It's Moshe Triani. Dates, I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not sure, so I won't say. Shekatav, Shigam Inyanam Shaveh. And here's Moshe Triani, or Harav Moshe Triani speaking. V'hu ma shekatuv ba'aretz Yisrael v'natati ota lachem morasha. Again. U'v'torah k'tiv, Torah tziv alanu Moshe, morasha. The same idea. Ki'ilu romez u'morel lanu biotan ne'emrot b'dibur echad. Right? What do we say about Shama v'Zocher b'dibur echad, right? Shama and Zocher is said with one dibur, and so Rav Teichtel or Rav the Mabit here is saying it's the same sense. Torah Eretz Yisrael b'dibur echad shehen miyuchadot b'kavana v'inyan echad shebihot morasha lanu Torat Moshe tiel lamo gamkein morasha Eretz Yisrael u'kashe nasur mimenu yeminu smol shelo tiel lanu morasha gamkein lo tiel lanu Eretz Yisrael morasha. Kamosha kara labotenu v'lanu ba'avonotenu. So it happened already that when we abandon Torah, we lose it as a morasha. And if we abandon Torah in Eretz Yisrael, then we also lose the land. And it happened twice. I don't know how many more times it has to happen. I hope it doesn't. Naturally, we all feel the same way. V'al pizeh, says Rabbi Teichtel. For some of you, I have a smaller font here. I corrected it on the 15th copy. V'al pizeh tavin et asher hitzakti b'rosh devareinu. Ki Torah v'eretz Yisrael b'dibur echad ne'emru, says Rabbi Teichtel. V'hem trei re'in. There are two partners, d'lo mitparshin. They cannot be separated. So there's a reciprocity. I'm forgetting how to speak English. It's terrible. There's a reciprocity between Torah and Eretz Yisrael. But my concern is outlining exactly what the nature of that reciprocity is. So Rav Teichtel goes to great lengths to show us how observance of the Torah helps us retain sovereignty over the land and to remain in the land. But the land also helps us to delve into the depths of the Torah in a way that's not possible in the diaspora. And again, look at what I put in bold print. It's not by accident. If you just lift up your eyes a little bit in the Mabit, V'gam kein ein anu masigim amitat sedoteha ki'im ba'eretz Yisrael. And actually, I don't know where the Mabit lived. Anybody know? Was he in Sfat? He was. So he could say that, right? How did Rav Teichtel say it? He was in Budapest, but he said it. So I asked Eliezer what he would have been like had he been in Eretz Yisrael, if he was a titan in Budapest, maybe how much more so here. And by the way, another observation about Rabbi Teichtel, I don't believe, Rabbi Wasserman can correct me, that he mentions Rav Kook once in his Sefer. And I'm not sure that he even knew about Rav Kook, which is almost an exciting idea that he came to these ideas totally on his own, through, unfortunately, through the Shoah, and then he wrote what he wrote, versus the Satmar Rebbe. So we did this portion here on Pesachim to show that Morashah here refers to sovereignty and something that you own. My concern here is, how does the halacha show us that we have to have sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael? Because if you think about it, Morashah is not a halachic idea. It's something else. I use the word philosophic in the beginning, yisod or yisodot. You can think about this. But I list here all the mitzvot, hatliot ba'aretz, that were listed in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. We're not going to learn them. But I've listed hilchot kilayim, hilchot matnot, matanot aniyim, hilchot shumot, hilchot masrot, hilchot masa sheni, veneta ravai, hilchot bikurim, and hilchot shmita v'yovel, shmita, which we're in the middle of right now. So when you're living in the land, and you really have to deal with the reality, the agricultural realities of living in Eretz Yisrael. I remember when I came to kibbutz, over 40 years ago, 1967, so we worked in the fields. And I worked even in the kutna. And without gloves, no, I had gloves. So it's because the cotton is full of thorns. It's quite, but the reality of being out there in the field, the heat, having to learn to drink, to have soup every day for lunch, not to dehydrate. So, and by the way, so you see Hilchot Matnot Aniyim are part of the Halachot Tliot Ba'aretz, because in the times of the Mishnah and even in the times of the Bayit Rishon and Cheney in an agricultural society, so the social welfare laws was these here, right here, the Hilchot Matnot Aniyim, to leave certain amounts of your fields available for the Aniyim to come and to collect and to take away. So you can live in Eretz Yisrael and you can observe these halachot hatliot ba'aretz. And if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you are fulfilling a mitzvah, at least according to the Ramban, a mitzvah deraita, one of the tayyad mitzvot. And we can discuss in another shia what the Rambam's understanding of that is. And you can fulfill all of these halachot about the agricultural laws. And the land could still not belong to you. You could still not have dominion over it. And if you'll see, there's a telling phrase in Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Kaf Vav, Demachriz Rabbi Yanai Puku V'Zaru Bashvi'it. The taxes were so onerous, it was just too much for the people. He says, go out and plant. Just forget it. Go out and plant so you can pay the tax. Which means they were observing Shemitah. That's what somebody was. Some people were. At least some. We don't know how many. We don't have the New York Times or the Jerusalem Post from that day. I don't know why they didn't save it. But we know that the laws were observed even when the Greek authority or the Roman authority was on our backs. But that's not Morashah. And so I just want to make that distinction that it's not connected to that. But where you can see it most obviously is in Sefer Devarim. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. Right? Everybody has that. Everybody knows this. Asher Hashem alokecha natan lecha l'shivtecha v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. Right? So we are commanded to set up a court system and a police force or an army to enforce the edicts of the court system, which implies dominion, shilton. The land has to belong to us if you're going to observe this mitzvah. If you're not, it's a mitzvah asay. So, you know, if you don't do this, so you haven't violated a lota asay, but you have abnegated a batel, you've nullified a mitzvah asay by not observing this when it was in your power to do so. And then finally, at the end of this, it says, lo tata mishpat, lo takir panim, lo tikach shochad, ki shochad ya'aver, einei chachamim, v'yisalef, divrei tzadikim, tzedek tirdof. That's a subject in itself. I have two volumes on that right now, what that means. L'ma'an tichye v'yirishta, v'yirashta, et ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha natan lach. So there we are required to take dominion over the land, not just to become settlers, not just to live, I don't want to politicize this, not just to live under a Palestinian state that they're going to give us permission to stay here in Efrat, thank you, but no. But nevertheless, given that we have Shoftim and Shotrim, which means a Sanhedrin, that's what it means, yes? And the court system and the way the court system of 3 judges and 23 judges and 71 judges. So we still have the Mabit's statement, Gam Kain Ein Anu Masigim Amitatsudoteha Ki Im Be'eretz Yisrael. So how does that work? How do we get to the sodoteha, the secrets, the foundations of the Torah, simply by living in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, we learned Torah in Poland for 1,000 years. You had a Vilna Gaon. What else? You had a Maharal. You had a Sfat Emet. You had on and on. We can. By the way, anyone who has not gone to the Herzog Library and seen my maps of the Chachamim, I beg you to go there. As you go into the main library of the yeshiva, which is on the lower level, the upper level is the Herzog Library, the lower level is the yeshiva library, and you turn left, immediately you will see an array, a wall twice the length of this wall here, an array of maps, literally maps this big, I don't know how big that is, of Chachamim, from the times of Avraham Avinu up until maybe the 19th century. And it's staggering to look at those maps and to see the chain of command and the amount of Talmidei Chachamim that we were privileged to have in our history. And I'm very proud that I gave them those maps put out by the Eitz Chaim Atlas of Raphael Halpern. I don't know if he's a Rav. The owner of this optician stores, I'm told. But you must go and see it. So, in any event, the Talmud Bavli, in the Sechet Sanhedrin, Daf Yudalid, begins, Mar, Amar, almost got me, right? That's the Mar, that's Amar. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. And then they go into a whole discussion, My ein smicha, what do you mean? Ilmale delo dine knasot klal b'chutz la'aretz v'hotanan sanhedrin noheged bein ba'aretz v'bein b'chutz la'aretz. And they come up with a conclusion, no. Ela somchim, you can only have smicha, you can only give out the certificate, the title of smicha in Eretz Yisrael, and both, if Rav Arasim, you might want to correct me here, but I believe the halacha is both the one who gives smicha and the one who receives smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Is that right, Rabbi Parkov? Okay, good. I get a response from one of them. So, there's a question here. What? I knew what he said.
Who would do it on the border?
Oh, all right, so we won't go into the details, but there's a basic philosophical question here, which the Gemara doesn't answer. And even my treasured art scroll Gemara, which I've started learning from, finally, and appreciate, and even appreciate. So he had a little footnote. If you want to know why we don't have smicha b'chutz la'aretz, go see the Torah Chaim, and he didn't say why. Usually they summarize a Rishon or an Acharon, they tell you a little bit what he said. No, just go there and look it up. So my brother got it for me off the Bar Ilan. It's not on my Bar Ilan, it's on the newer version. So I recommend you, everybody upgrade. The Torah Chaim is an early Acharon, somewhere in the 1600s. Eliezer, I didn't get the email, but I think the town of Belz. Do you remember reading it with me?
Yeah, but he wasn't a Belzer.
And he wasn't a Belzer because the Belzers didn't exist then. And I said to my brother, so what are you saying? He was just a plain Jew? Could just be a Jew? He wasn't a Chazid. He wasn't a Misnagdik. So I had trouble dealing with that idea. But once we read the Torah Chaim, you'll see what a great personage he was. And I really view this source is the basis of my talk, is giving us the full understanding of what's happening. And then we're going to do Rav Kook, which will be harder, much harder. Ein smichat b'chutz la'aretz ta'ama, the reason, the milta nira lefish asmicha nimshechet ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu shenatana kodesh baruch hu et rucho alav. V'hu samach et Yehoshua v'zakenim v'natan meirucho aleihem v'zakenim l'acherim v'acherim l'acherim k'mo shekatav ha-Rambam zal b'perek dalet mehilchot Sanhedrin nimsa shekol ha-somech et chaveiro mashpia alav k'tzat meiruach ha-kodesh. Now that's the key. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what Ruach HaKodesh is. And I'm not going to kid you. But this is the key. And we'll just leave it for a while, because when we used to learn symbolic logic, they would give us a new symbol, and they wouldn't define it for about a half hour and just would drive you crazy, but they would be using it in the mathematical calculations. But Ruach HaKodesh we've all heard of. So, but that's not the subject here, but obviously, we'll have to do a chapter on it in another paper. So, mashpia alav, right? Ketzat me ruach hakodesh haba v'nimshach alav mimenu yitbarach v'nira d'lahachi hadayanim hasmuchim nikraim Elohim. I'll read it. Elohim?
Yeah.
With a hey.
Oh.
Elohim, they are called by the same name as God has. Why? Lefi shekiblu hashpa'a haba'a me'et ha'Elohim. Ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. Asher natan Hashem et yucho alav v'lechein ein smichat b'chutz la'aretz lefi she'ein hashchina shore al ha'adam b'chutz la'aretz. And could the eat of a perak elu magalchim here, but the patach Rabbi Abba alei the Rav Huna, Rabbi Abba said about Rav Huna the Amar, and he said Ra'ui haya Rabbeinu shetishra alav shechina ela shebabavel garmalo v'imkein ein shefa ruach hakodesh chal al hanismach. I think you all understood that. And I'm not going to translate because Chaim Shmuel will never let me hear the end of it. So I have to continue. And that's the way it is. I can't help it. But That's a good question. So, very good question. And what was the Torah doing there when we received it in Har Sinai? And he wrote the Torah in Har Sinai. That means we should take Sinai back from the Egyptians. Is that what it means?
I'm not getting political.
Oh, okay. That's.
So I don't understand
the Torah. So I asked my Rebbe Chavrusa friend, or maybe I asked my brother, I can't remember because everybody worked with me on this. So I was trying to give a reason to explain what is special about Eretz Yisrael. And I went to Shoftim v'shoftim titen lecha b'chol ha'atzecha, because that's tangible. I can feel it. Set up a legal system in a place where you have dominion over. But I asked my brother, can I take a clump of dirt from his backyard and bring it over to Jordan? And he shook his head. He says, you can't do that.
We discussed that.
Hamaskil yidom. It may not be correct. We did it already. We took to the kavarim of our parents before my brother actually discovered or thought it through. But it's a question. You can't take a dirt from Eretz Yisrael and bring it somewhere else. So it means what? You mean the dirt is special? That's special? That's what's special? And I said it was shoftim m'shoftim titen lecha. It's a question. I'm not answering it. I'll stand my ground, but now I have a problem. Look at Rav Kook. Eretz Yisrael einena davar chitzoni, kinyan chitzoni l'uma. It's not something external. Rak betur emtzei l'matara shel hit agadut haklalit v'chazakat kiyuma hachomri or afilu haruchani. It's not I got to translate, because it's very dangerous. And Rabbi Wasserman's going to step in and help me maybe. But Eretz Yisrael is not a means to an end. Emtzai l'matara shel, to a purpose, some other purpose, either combining Am Yisrael, hit agadut haklalit, right, and strengthening them, hit chazakat kiyuma, either physically or spiritually, either chomri or ruchani. What is it then? Eretz Yisrael, Chativa atzmutit, it's its own thing. Keshura b'kesha chayim im ha'uma. It's bound up with the life of the people. What is it? Chavuka. What is that?
Embrace.
Chavuka b'skulat panimiot im metziuta. It's embraced with the segula, the specialness, the inner specialness, of itself. Umitoch kach I efshar la'amod al hatochen shel segulat kedushat Eretz Yisrael. Again, that word kedusha. We know we have the concept of kedusha hamakom, kedusha hazman, and afilu kedusha haguf. There are three kedushot that I know about. So, I efshar la'amod al hatochen shel segulat kedushat Eretz Yisrael. Ulahotzi lepoel, ayin, with an ayin. Don't anyone say anything. Ulahotzi lepoel et omek chibata. And to bring into reality the depths of its love, its love for us, or our love for it, I'm not sure.
Passion.
Whose passion?
We for it.
Okay. Passion of Am Yisrael for Eretz Yisrael. B'shum haskala ratzionolit. What a great word. Right? Without any rational, you can't explain it rationally. Ki im baruach Hashem asher al ha'uma b'klala. This is the only way you can understand our kids who were going up to the mountaintops. I never saw anything like it. These young kids, 13-year-olds getting arrested and standing up to the police. It's just incredible. בהטבעה הטבעית הרוחנית אשר בנשמת ישראל. It's bound up into the souls of Am Yisrael, שהיא ששולחת את קוויה בצבעים בכל האורחות של ההגשה הבריאה. I need some help on that line. It sends out its rays, right? Mm-hmm. In every direction.
That's
what it is. Very good. Sends out its hope in every direction. Umizarechet he et zrichata. It shines its light, ha'elyona, its heavenly light, al pi ota hamidah shel ruach ha'kedusha ha'elyona. Hamamleat, hamamoleit, chayim v'noam elyon et levav, kedoshei ha'ra'ayon v'amukei hamachashava ha'yisraelit. So I discussed this with Rabbi Wasserman. And after he showed it to me 2 days later, I said, that means that Rav Kook is against everything I said. Because he's saying you can't explain it rationally. Everything I tried to do, including the Mabit and including the Torah Chaim, was to explain it rationally. And he comes in and punctures it. And then the rabbi says, no, you got it all wrong. He's combining his poetic... His poetry and passion for Eretz Yisrael, together with the halachic personality that he was, and of course, if you haven't seen it, the Halacha Brua. I just bought the Gemara Sanhedrin by Rav Kook. You have the Rambam on the bottom of every page, and in the back of the Sefer you have all the Rishonim, because Rav Kook wanted you to learn Gemara together with halacha, that it shouldn't just be a theoretical activity. So I'm left with a question mark here on Rav Kook. Rabbi Wasserman, you want to say anything before I conclude here?
What's the question?
I don't know. I'm not capable of giving a good accounting of Rav Kook. I said that to you.
The simile in the Kaveha, Shalachat et Kaveha Bitzvaim, Echola Ochotshel Al-Gashah Adriya. He was the ultimate synthesizer of all powers and of all colors. He was not black and white, rational or irrational, but the totality of existence spoke to him, and he integrated it so totally in a most poetic way, but an original way, that he was totally misunderstood. And when you misunderstand someone, you start to hate the someone if you cannot come to his kneecaps. But your rationalism, your legalism, shoftim v'shoftim, is one of the colors of the rays of the spectrum of the totality of existence for Rav Kook, without which you cannot understand Sodoteha, the esoteric secrets that only are understood between two lovers.
So, with that, I hope some of it was picked up by the tape recorder. But with that, I want to conclude with a famous Rambam. There's a fascinating halacha at the end of Hilchot Chanukah. Hayal afanav ner beito v'ner Chanukah. If you only have light, either Shabbos candles or Chanukah candles, or you only have enough money for one or the other, or ner beito v'kiddush hayom, or the conflict is between Shabbos candles and wine for kiddush. Ner beito kodem mishum shalom beito. Shabbos candles come first because of shalom bayit. Sharei Hashem hanimchak la'asot shalom bein ish li'ishto. We know that in the the halachas of the Sota. God's name is blotted out in order to create peace between husband and wife. Gadol HaShalom, look what the Rambam says, it's bold print, it's not an accident. Gadol HaShalom Shekol HaTorah Nitna La'asot Shalom Bi'olam. The entire Torah is, the purpose is to create peace in the world. Shenema Da'acheha Da'achei Noam V'chol Netivoteha Shalom. And what has this got to do with the Sanhedrin? Because when the Sanhedrin is implemented in the political sense and performs its proper duties, and if you read the qualifications of who gets into a Sanhedrin, either Parsha Yitro, where Yitro says Sonei Betza, they have to literally hate making a profit. They're not interested in money, or if you look at the qualifications as enumerated by the Rambam in his Hilchot Sanhedrin, so you see that you're going to have 71 sterling Talmidei Chachamim who will not have any ulterior motives except the welfare of the Jewish people, and they themselves will adjudicate machloket between people, and they will establish takanot, positively oriented institutions that will create peace and physical prosperity throughout the land.